we're so used to seeing things that, in my opinion, aren't quite right in our treatment of animals.
Yeah, the less we eat, the less violence is being done, and the less destruction to the environment.
Everyone eats, and everyone has to make a moral decision every time that we sit down to the table.
The Animal Voices Radio Show, Canada's only radio program on animal advocacy and compassionate living. This is 100.5 FM Co-op Radio, CFRO, in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. Today is Friday, December the 14th, 2018.
I am your host, Allison Cole, and I am joined here today by our guest co-host, Leanna Cole, my sister.
Hello.
Thanks for being here. Yeah. And our control room operator, Carol Davies McIntosh.
Good afternoon.
Welcome, everyone. Well, the holidays are coming, and they are here, in fact. And with that, incontestably comes the tradition of buying gifts, spending a lot of money, and creating a lot of waste. This waste has a dire effect on our planet and the human and non-human animals that inhabit it. And I think it's out of control. With our convenience-based first-world lifestyles and the swift ease of simply pressing a button online, the Earth is being ruined as we, as a society, continue to buy new things and thus discard the old. But it doesn't have to be this way. Joining us in the studio today, we will have local Vancouver activist Tasha Lobsinger, who runs the Peace People Project. And she believes that we can do better for the Earth by living minimally, using things until they're broken, and always sourcing from existing materials before creating a new demand for production. Tasha lives a vegan zero-waste lifestyle and will be here to discuss with us how we can incorporate more zero-waste into our holiday celebrations this year and hopefully beyond. That discussion is coming up in about 15 minutes. As I mentioned, our special guest co-host today is my sister, Leanna Picard, who is a vegan animal activist who now lives in South Dakota. Thank you for being here today, Leanna, to co-host the show with us. And you arrived to Vancouver yesterday. You'll be here for a full 4 days. I know we have a lot of things planned, but the last time you were here was earlier this year in February, and I feel that a lot has progressed in your activism for the animals since then. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I recently, well, this summer in August, started a Facebook group called Sioux Falls Area Action for Animals. It's an animal liberation activist group. And in the town I live in, Sioux Falls, South Dakota, in the Midwest, there is a vegan vegetarian Facebook group. It has about 300 members, but a lot of them aren't active, and most of them just aren't active in the way of wanting to speak up for animals. So from there, there was a core group of us who kind of found each other and thought that it would be great to just have an activist group of committed people who wish to speak up for the animals and to grow in our activism journey. So in August, like I said, I started the group, and I've been organizing monthly meetups, and we've been getting together, and we've done Choctivism, which was really successful. We did it downtown, and we did
it. What is Choctivism for people who don't know?
Choctivism is where you just find, you can do it anywhere, sidewalk. We did it in a park, and you just write messages of compassion and animal rights, and it was successful. People pass by, and they read what you're writing, and ask questions. It was really good. So we did that, and we did leafleting downtown when we were all first-time leafleters. So
it's really
great to just have the group of people starting out and just wanting to support each other.
What's it like leafleting as a first-time leafleter when people, when you want to give people information about, say, going vegan?
Yeah.
And do they engage with you sometimes and have conversations?
It didn't even get to that point. I'm not sure for any of us. It was just people passing by. I moved there 5 years ago, and it's from what I'm told and what I've seen, there isn't much of a culture there of that type of things, like protests and that type of thing.
Activism.
So when people see that, they think we're from out of town. They don't think that we live there or we're from there, especially when it comes to animal rights activism. I've done protests, circus protests, and they always say, "Where are you from? Where did you come from?"
You're like, "I live here."
Exactly. So we've done that. We've done, I did in October a screening / potluck. We screened Forks Over Knives, and I'd like to do more of that. And then in November, their Thanksgiving in the States is in November, I organized my first event, a Thanksgiving potluck.
Based off the ones I used to hold, right? And we still have here in Vancouver for Meatless Meetup.
Yes, you helped me with organizing it.
A little bit. You did pretty much everything yourself. I was very proud of you.
Mm-hmm. Well, only 16 people showed up, so I'm hoping hoping for it to grow.
And it will grow, trust me. It will grow.
And then this month for our meetup, we did a joint meetup with Anonymous for the Voiceless. There's a chapter in Sioux Falls that started in September. So the lead there, Stacy, she did some beginner training on outreach. So hopefully next month we'll continue with that and do more role playing and practicing on conversations that we would have while participating in the Cube of Truth that Anonymous for the Voiceless does.
So for people who aren't familiar with what the Cube of Truth is, and I know we have one coming up in Vancouver tonight, actually, and it had been announced, and someone actually posted on there, what exactly is a Cube of Truth? Someone gave a really good answer about what it is. I wonder if maybe you can describe what it is for you.
Yeah. So at the Cube of Truth, people stand with screens, so their laptops or a tablet, and they put video on it of what's happening in the animal agriculture industry. It can be graphic, but what they do is they stand in cube formation, and as people pass by and they watch what's on the screens, some of people in our group will approach them and just talk about what they're seeing and ask some questions if they've seen anything like this before.
And what kind of footage are you showing?
Like factory farm footage and what happens and what just normal practices are in the animal agriculture industry. People don't know that, for instance, at one day old male chicks are ground up alive or suffocated or gassed because they are of no use in the egg industry. So facts like that, we let
people
know.
And that's shown on the video. And I've been at a cube before where I've been talking to the person about it and then I go, look, just like that, it happened to come on the screen. So it's very, I think graphics and video, visual images are very powerful because people can't refute it, right, when they're seeing what's happening.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But so for me, we attended the Animal Liberation Conference at the end of May of this year. It was for 1 week. It was in Berkeley, California.
It was an activism boot camp.
Yes, it was. We did a lot there, and it really inspired and motivated me. And when I got back in the summer, I just felt like I wanted to do more. And I've heard, like on this show, your guests often talk about being more active and how important it is. And I totally agree. And being at that conference just exposed me to so much other activists, like the vegan couple. I didn't follow them before that, but since I have. And they always say that being a vegan isn't the most you can do, it's the least you can do. And I think that that is just very true. I mean, to make a change in the social justice movement, we need to speak up for what's right. And the more people who do this, the louder we'll be heard and change minds to make connections that we already have. Or even if we don't make connections with people, we talk to them and we have allies within the movement, which is very important, I think.
Yeah, allies are people who are maybe not vegan, but they are supportive of what we're doing because we need to get as many allies as possible. The animals, the animal activism movement is the only movement that is run completely by allies. Did you know that? Because the animals can't speak English by themselves. They need us to speak for them.
Yeah. Yes, and I heard Melanie Joy attended one of her webinars, and she was talking about the importance of allies and how in any social justice movement, that is what pushes it forward. So it's very important to speak up and let people see the vegan movement and what it stands for and to have those allies to support us, even if they're not a part of it themselves.
Right. So I know ALC, the Animal Liberation Conference, had a huge impact on you. It sort of spearheaded you into doing all the activism you're doing now. You're just telling me on the way here that a person who was organizing the Cube of Truth in Omaha that you went to also was inspired.
He was
at ALC as well, and he said, this is why I'm doing it. So
yeah.
So for people who really want to get more into animal activism and to learn and to meet so many people and make a community. They have opened up registration for next year. Do you want to talk about that a bit?
Yeah, so registration is now open. It's $75 for the full week, which is an excellent price. It includes so many free meals, and there's also options for people who have financial barriers. There is a registration price for $40, as well as limited number of free tickets that you can apply for. And then if you only want to attend one or two days, that is also $40. And children 12 and under are free. So it really was a great week. We did so much. We attended vigils where we bore witness. We did protests. Our group did a disruption at a Safeway, which I'd never done before.
Right. Talk about getting out of your comfort zone,
yeah,
right?
You exactly.
Got to yell.
And that's what this did. It helped me get out of my comfort zone within a community of people that are there for all the same reason. I think there was like 1,200 plus attendees,
yes,
or a lot of people. Mm-hmm. So we participate in mass actions as well. We did a funeral service in front of the city hall to remember the animals. We did a mass open rescue at a chicken farm. We did a march in San Francisco with all those people.
1,000 people took over the streets of San Francisco.
Yes.
So I just wanted to note that this takes place in Berkeley, California. We didn't mention that. And the website, I think it's animalliberationconference.com. Is that correct?
And the date is May 29th to June 4th, 2019.
Right. So we have a couple of minutes left to chat, and I wanted to talk about a new place that we both checked out last night. It's called The Vegan Cave, and it's a new vegan pizza place in Vancouver, as if we need one, right? We already have Virtuous Pie. We have a couple of them, but who doesn't want more pizza?
I know. And it was yummy.
It was really,
really
yummy.
Good.
Yeah, Leanna and I and a friend went there. It's at 415 Abbott Street, just off Hastings, not far from the radio station there. They have pizza, also a few soups and salads, plus desserts. And their pizza crusts are all organic and non-GMO. And you choose a crust made of various ingredients that are all healthy, like cassava flour and almond flour and cauliflower. The ones that we had, we ordered the pesto prana with a sauteed broccoli cashew ricotta on pesto sauce. They make their own cheeses. They are really yummy. And then we shared a Bombay Bad Boy, which was a vegan chicken tandoori with red onion, red pepper, and cilantro. I highly recommend it. The pizzas are about 12 inches. They're really filling, and they're about $15, so similar to that of Virtuous Pie. They are a big meal. Like, you and I shared one, and we had a soup, too.
The pumpkin coconut soup.
It was really delicious. So if you're interested in seeing photos of our experience, you can check out our Facebook page at Animal Voices Vancouver for a whole bunch of photos that I took about Vegan Cave. And that wraps up our chat for now.
Did you know that Vancouver Co-op Radio, CFRO 100.5 FM, has over 90 different shows produced by over 350 community members? This wide range of programming produced by our diverse group of programmers ensures that we have a show you'll love. We have shows on feminism, spirituality, disability rights, politics, unions, and parenting. We play jazz, indie rock, reggae, blues, and folk. We broadcast in a dozen different languages and have more First Nations programs than any other radio station in Vancouver. Find your show on Vancouver Co-op Radio, CFRO 100.5 FM. All different, all the time.
So there are lots of events coming up this weekend, as there are every weekend in the animal activists and vegan community. And Leanna, you and I are planning to go to some events. So as we spoke about, the Cube of Truth has been happening basically on a weekly basis, it seems like, here in Vancouver. And we're having one tonight at 6 p.m. I believe it's 6 till 9 p.m. downtown Vancouver at the corner of Georgia and Granville Street. So this is a great way to start animal activism, because you can simply do that by just holding a screen by wearing a mask. And Leanna, you said that you were doing a cube back where you live, and some young girls were scared of the masks and ran off.
They were maybe about 14, 15. They ran away, and I said, it's okay.
Yeah.
You can come over and
come back.
To them. Yeah.
Right. So you've been active in actually doing the outreach part. That's what I like doing, is talking to people.
Mm-hmm.
But you can do both. You can wear a mask and be sort of anonymous. That's why it's called Anonymous for the Voiceless, and hold a screen, or you can chat. Also, tomorrow is the weekly chicken vigil at the local chicken slaughterhouse at Commercial and Hastings in Vancouver. This happens every Saturday from 9 till 11 a.m. And activists go there to, well, we used to go to bear witness because you could actually go into the back alley to bear witness to the chickens, but that has since been cordoned off by the chicken slaughterhouse company. And we now just stand there with the presents, with signs, and people give show support because a lot of people don't know that a slaughterhouse is right there. You would know if you just basically smell, like if you use your nose in that intersection, you can smell the rot and the corpses and the death. But otherwise, it's a big barren structure and you wouldn't know. So that's happening. That happens every weekend. And that's also another really easy way to get into activism, the weekly chicken vigils. And thank you to Megan at Vancouver Chicken Safe for organizing these every week. So an event that we are going to tomorrow is the Meatless Meetup Annual Order of Good Cheer Holiday Potluck. And this is the group that I volunteer with, Vancouver Meatless Meetup. And it we have this annual holiday potluck where a whole bunch of people come. We have over 80 people coming tomorrow, and there are going to be prizes for the best dishes this time. So I am going to try to make, if you've seen the candy cane cake on the cover of Veg News magazine right now, that's what I'm going to accomplish to try to make tonight. And what are you making, Liana?
I'm going to make pumpkin cheesecake bars.
Yes, your recipe looks a lot more doable than mine. Mine may turn out. I like making cakes, so this will be a good opportunity. There's a $50 a gift certificate for Indigo Cafe for the best for the best dessert. $40 gift certificate from Virtuous Pie for the best entree, and a $40 gift certificate from Cafe Tao for the best raw dish. So we actually, and then there's other incentives as well for the runners-up. So I think it's going to be really good. And if you want to find out more, just go to meetup.com/meatlessmeetup. That's M-E-A-T-L-E-S-S. And it starts at 5 p.m. at 5350 Bailey Street. And like I said, prizes for the best dishes. And one more very quick announcement. There's going to be a beach cleanup this Sunday, December 15th, that Sea Shepherd Society is running from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. at Crab Park. This sort of fits in within our theme of, well, we're going to be talking today about all the waste that's made in the world, the whole wide world, and we want a zero waste society, but at least you can come and help save the planet a little bit by doing a bit of a beach cleanup. So, and get some exercise, and they'll be going out for lunch to meet in Gastown after that. So that's all for the events right now. If you have an animal-friendly event that you would like to have announced on the show, please send us an email at radioanimalvoices@gmail.com, or you can post it on our Facebook page, Animal Voices Vancouver.
We need to talk about recycling. I hear a lot of people tell me I recycle. Well, I'm here to tell you I want you to stop recycling. Okay. Well, actually, I'd like you to focus less on recycling and more on reducing. We have a huge plastic problem. It's in everything from our clothes to the fish we eat. Only 9% of all the plastic that gets produced actually gets recycled. We've been mass producing plastic since the 1950s. Plastic can take up to 450 years to break down, and 60% of all that plastic is still on our planet. Plastic production creates greenhouse gases, which contribute to climate change. What you need to understand about recycling is that it's only as valuable as the market for it. Recycling is a billion-dollar industry. Just because you put something in the recycling bin doesn't mean that it actually gets recycled. It has to be processed, baled, put on the market. And if someone doesn't buy it, it doesn't get recycled. In fact, 50% of the things in recycling bins aren't recycled. Up until January of 2018, China was importing and processing nearly half of the world's plastic and paper recyclables. But they aren't accepting nearly as much plastic waste as they used to, which has left the recycling industry in a crisis. Around the world, recyclable materials have been going to landfill and polluting environments. We have all this plastic, and we keep producing more to meet demand, but our Earth is swimming in plastic. So that's why I'm asking you to focus on reducing your use of plastics rather than just recycling.
For today's feature interview, we have local activist Tasha Lobsinger of the Peace People Project on the show. She is a vegan and lives a zero-waste lifestyle and believes that we can do better for the earth by living minimally, using things until they're broken, and always sourcing from existing materials before creating a new demand for production. Tasha also believes that we can do better for the animals by freeing them from human control and by speaking on their behalf every day. Living this way is the lifestyle of a zero-waste vegan, and with the holiday season upon us now, at a time where there is a lot of spending done and hence waste produced, it may be the best time to reevaluate the way we live and to explore the zero-waste vegan lifestyle as a viable and necessary option for treading as lightly on the earth as possible for all of its inhabitants. Tasha will be telling us more about that today and what we can do to spend a more zero-waste holiday celebration this year. Hello, Tasha. Welcome to Animal Voice.
Hello, thanks for having me.
Thanks for being here. I'm so excited. So first, I'm interested in learning about your vegan journey and then how that ties into your zero waste journey, because I think that both of these lifestyles are complementary to each other, and I don't know how this all happened, so please do share.
Yeah, absolutely. I believe both lifestyles are based on the same values, and that's inevitably what led me to living both vegan and zero waste. My vegan journey started like 6 years ago. It was my first glimpse at footage from a slaughterhouse. It only took me about 5 minutes of looking into that to go vegan overnight. My zero waste journey was a lot slower and more gradual as I learned little bits of information over time. But both were very heavily inspired by a course that I was a teaching assistant for at the University of Victoria. And that timing lining up with me moving from Ontario to BC and just being so inspired by nature, and having that course as a huge source of inspiration, and then just having the desire to protect what I was discovering was so beautiful, our planet. So in the course, there's a lifestyle change project that the students have to do every semester.
Okay.
And as a teaching assistant, I decided I would do it. And I was a teaching assistant for that course, I think, 6 semesters in a row. So every time I chose a different lifestyle change that I would do myself. Uh-huh. One of them was going vegan, actually, although that didn't stick because I knew nothing about the animals at the time. I just thought it was a diet that I would try. And then another one that I did was no throwaway coffee mugs, and that one stuck. So for 8 years, I haven't used a single one. So that was really
good for you.
That was a small change towards my zero waste lifestyle. I never bought water in plastic bottles.
Right.
I never used plastic bags when I went shopping. But I wasn't seeing the full picture. I would buy like a juice in a plastic bottle, and I didn't realize it was the same.
So much out there, right? It's like you have to sort of like draw lines and realize and actually come to a realization that these are all items that are going to end up in a landfill somewhere. So first, we just played a clip about the role of plastics and how that plays a role in our society. Plastics are everywhere, including in our clothing, which I learned from the workshop I took from you a few months ago, and in the packaging for the food we eat, of course. And I also learned from the clip we just played that only 9% of plastics produced actually get recycled. So what is happening with the rest? And can you tell us more about how this plastic production cycle affects the earth and all of its inhabitants?
Absolutely, yeah. So about 1/3 of recycling ends up in the landfill. So then it's getting accumulated with rainwater and all the garbage and all the plastic, and it's creating like a poisonous, toxic pool that's leaching into the soil and destructing the environment. Another 1/3 ends up in the ocean, being washed away down streams, through sewers, down rivers, through the wind. It just ends up in the ocean. And then the other 1/3, and this is the best case scenario, gets recycled, which actually takes a lot of energy, creates greenhouse gases, and is not the perfect solution either.
Right. And I wanted to talk a bit about the clothing industry, because you actually have a business that actually upcycles clothing. Some people might not know what that means. Can you tell us about why the clothing industry is so wasteful to our environment?
Yeah, for sure. The clothing industry really hits, nails down on the three core values of veganism. So ethics, health, and environment. I watched a really inspiring film about a year ago, or no, maybe about 2 years ago now, called The True Cost, and it goes over all the problems with the clothing industry, and it was just like watching Earthlings, Cowspiracy, What the Health. You just have this kind of really eye-opening experience of this information, and it's so clear that there's so many problems, some of them being, you know, workers' rights. So the price of labor is so low, the buildings are so dangerous. There was a Rana Plaza collapse in Bangladesh that killed over 1,000 workers right after workers had complained about, you know, seeing structural problems within the building. So the workers' rights are really low and the wages are really low. So from an ethical standpoint, it's causing a lot of destruction. There's a lot of resources being used. For instance, to make one cotton t-shirt, it takes 30 bathtubs full of water.
That's outrageous.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a lot of water. So, like, imagine filling up and emptying your bathtub 30 times every time you buy one t-shirt. And that's just water. It obviously takes other resources as well. And these clothing items are shipped around the world. Mm-hmm. So that's just kind of a really... that I like that fact because it's easy to grasp.
Exactly, and it's easy for someone to relate to and say, hey, I buy t-shirts, maybe I shouldn't buy as many.
Yeah.
Another industry that's with clothing that directly affects animals is leather. Can you speak a little bit about that?
Yeah, for sure. The leather industry is highly toxic. There's very poisonous chemicals used to treat the leather. This highly affects workers. There's people having burnt skin, cancers, asthma problems, a whole slew of health issues from working around these toxins. And then, of course, we're taking an animal's life as well, their whole life. Mm-hmm. We're taking from them.
And people think that leather is a byproduct of the dairy industry or meat industry, mm-hmm. but it's actually a co-product, as I've learned from doing this show for years.
Yeah, it has its own demand, and yeah, it definitely has its own industry.
Right, so convenience living. Liana, this is where you get to be asked a quiz question.
Okay.
What are some ways that we live in a convenience-based lifestyle? Such as yourself.
Like when just things are convenient.
Yeah, like
us.
When you can just, I guess when you can just go out and buy something whenever you want.
Or even just stay at home, click of a button, online, buy it, comes to your door. That's pretty convenient and very wasteful.
Actually, I see that every day at my work. I have to process piles, like tons and tons of mail every day. And every day the Amazon comes and delivers about 100 boxes. And often these boxes, too, sometimes the students will say, like, they'll get this big box, and then they'll go, hey, they'll open it. Why is there just this small little thing in it? And there's all this bubble wrap in it. Mm-hmm. And to me, I just kind of, like, want to go crazy because having to go through that every day, Tasha, it's bearing on me.
Mm,
and just to see the piles and the stacks of the Sephora boxes, because if you buy one lipstick and one eyeshadow, you get free shipping.
Yeah.
It's so easy for students. And I think right now our society is cultivating a culture where buy is what they do, and I honestly don't know where they put these into their tiny little dorm rooms, like all this stuff, but honestly a lot of it gets left behind at the end of the year. I can tell you that as well. So we have our conventional society that's going out and buying out, like I said, the latest iPhones, not like mine, that just froze up right before the show, copious amounts of products from Sephora and Amazon daily, and living in a fast-paced society where people go out to eat and often get fast food takeout in their disposable containers and plastic bags. But you, Tasha, you've rejected the standard way of living. Can you talk to us about what a zero waste way of living is for you?
Yeah, so I guess within the terms of the definition, it simply refers to all resources being reused in the process. So essentially nothing ends up in the landfill or the ocean. But I like to take it a step further. As we heard in the clip, recycling is not enough. As we talked about, it's not working. So I like to really only use things that already exist. For instance, furnishing my home, my clothing, anything that I need. Plenty of it already exists. You know, there's enough plates and coffee mugs and tables to go around.
There's enough coffee mugs to last the world forever.
Forever.
And literally.
Yeah, forever. And yeah, you can find good quality stuff. You can find styles you like. It's not even that hard. You just have to get to know the thrift shops near you, or check Craigslist or Kijiji or Facebook Marketplace. Borrow from a friend. There's so many ways to avoid buying
new. I get free stuff a lot. Like, people just put stuff out by the back alley, and you get a free table or a free chair or a free whatever. So I just wanted to remind everyone, you're listening to Animal Voices here at 100.5 FM, CFRO, Vancouver Co-op Radio, in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. So you're also a vegan, a zero-waste vegan, and I know you have these zero-waste vegan potlucks. I haven't been able to attend any, but I have to say, like, I have been a bit hesitant because I've been thinking, like, what do I make that zero waste? Yeah. I'm already vegan, so it's not like it's just a vegan potluck where other people might be saying, what do I make that's vegan? That's easy for me, right? So what do you eat? And can you take us through a typical day of Tasha's zero waste vegan lifestyle?
Okay, I'm gonna come back to the what do I eat in a day.
Okay.
And first say that you can come to the potlucks. The goal is that everything will be made from zero waste source. But for instance, some people have asked, like, I have spices that are in a plastic container that I already bought. Can I use those to make my meal that I'm going to bring to the potluck?
As long as they intend to keep the container forever.
No, I was going to say no. Okay. They can't come. No, I'm just kidding.
Oh, they just can't come. Oh, okay.
Yeah, no, like, of course, we want it to be, like, very inclusive. And, you know, like, the main thing is no packaging in what you're bringing. So bringing it in your own container.
Easy.
And no animal products. And then we'll have great conversations about, you know, where you can source things like spices when you run out of the one you bought. So don't be afraid. It's a very inclusive, welcoming space. And it's for non-vegans. It's for non-zero wasters. It's for everyone who's
interested. It's a learning environment.
Yeah, and a community builder, too. We have a lot of fun.
Absolutely. Yeah, so what's a day in the life for Tasha like?
A day in the life? Mm-hmm. Cat snuggles in the morning.
Okay.
So for breakfast, it usually involves oats in some form. Whether I'm making warm oats, I put like some raisins, some peanut butter, maybe some maple syrup. That's really yummy. Maybe some cinnamon, maybe some shredded coconut flakes. Or I'll make like oat milk cereal. Like, I'm usually similar ingredients, maybe add some bananas. And then I make my own oat milk as well.
And you gave us a demo on how to do that in the workshop that I attended a few months ago. And I found that just to be such great timing, because I had just started making my own oat milk about a month before that. So your workshop was in October, I think, and I had started in September. And I mentioned at that workshop that I had purchased a bag that was about this big, and it cost me $2.69. And I ended up getting 16 cups of oats out of that. And for every cup of oats, I put in 5 cups of water, because I don't strain it. I like the fiber. Mm-hmm. You just whip it up in your Vitamix. I put in a date, because I have dates, and I put in a little bit of vanilla just to give it a little bit of sweetness. You don't have to. And that's my cereal milk, because I've been into eating cereal lately, but that, I have to tell you, Tasha, like, that has saved, like, going, because I usually would buy the milks and the Tetra Paks, and then I'd save them all to take them to the recycling depot every couple months, and I didn't have any to take this last time.
Yay!
It was just like, wow, I've saved so much, but not only that,
money.
I saved a lot of money.
Yeah.
A lot of money that would normally go to a soy milk 1 liter would cost, not on sale, like $2.50.
Yeah, and sometimes even like $5.
Oh, I don't buy them that expensive. Yeah, but Yeah, I spent almost just about that much for a large bag of oats that lasted me about 3 months. I just bought another bag of oats last week.
Nice.
So it lasted me all this time. So highly recommend learning how to make your own oat milk, basically by just the recipe we just said, right?
Oats and water.
That's it. Blend.
And if you want to sweeten it, you can.
Yeah.
If you want to filter it, you can use like a fine sieve, is that what it's called?
Or cheesecloth or something.
Yeah,
like if you want to, but I don't even do that because I like the fiber. So what else? Do you use a pressure cooker a lot?
I love my pressure cooker.
Yeah, do you have an Instant Pot?
No, I don't.
Okay, Leanna just got one for Christmas. She wants to know what to do with it.
Yeah, I'm not too sure. I've heard that it's just really helpful with cooking beans and rice because it's quicker. But
yeah. I got to say, I don't know anything about the Instant Pot, but I think it has pressure cooker features. Am I right? I don't know.
I'm not sure.
It is. It's a pressure cooker. And it's like an all-in-one. Like I'll tell you, like the students are buying a lot of them these days, and our Amazon delivery guys are saying, oh, I've been delivering so many of these every day. They're really hot right now. So
honestly, like for instance, for chickpeas, like regularly to make them from raw, you would have to soak them for 24 hours and then cook them in a pot with water for up to 2 hours. Sometimes even more. With the pressure cooker, you put them in and they're done in like 30, 35 minutes.
That's what I hear.
And you don't have to soak them. So you can just make them for dinner or, you know, whatever.
That's why everyone's buying an Instant Pot.
Now I'm looking forward to it. Yeah. Thank you to my husband for buying that for me.
It makes the zero waste lifestyle so much easier.
So you're talking about oats and maple syrup and chickpeas. Where do you buy these items from where you don't have to use, I'm guessing obviously like the bulk bins, but you're not using plastic bags?
Yeah, so we're so lucky in Vancouver to have such a great zero waste community and a couple businesses as well. We've got two zero waste shops, the Soap Dispensary, which is on Main and 21st, and Nada, which is on Broadway and Fraser. Yeah.
Yeah, 645 East Broadway, I think it is, at Fraser or West Broadway. I wrote it down. 675 East Broadway, and the Soap Dispensary is at 3718 Main Street. I know because we both went there to both those places yesterday.
Yay.
To check them out. They're the coolest places. Yeah. So you shopped there.
And it was your first time there?
It was both our first times there.
And what'd you think?
Very inspiring to me. Like, just all that bulk stuff, and it's crazy.
Leanna was taking a lot of pictures. Over the years, we're going to be talking about zero waste gift giving ideas. And over the years, Leanna has given me gifts of things that could be found in the soap dispensary store, like reusable produce bags.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
And they had Diva cups there, which I highly recommend.
Yep,
you can even buy those at Save On Foods now. Isn't that the best gift I ever gave you, Leanna?
Yeah. Yeah, and just to know all that waste that you're not contributing to.
Like for like your whole, almost your whole life.
From a health perspective.
Yeah, you're not getting toxic shock syndrome. So just like that's one great tip.
That's what I like, was seeing all the items in those stores that would aid in zero waste and the zero waste lifestyle. Like it's like stuff you wouldn't even think about. It's like, oh yeah, I can use that. And then I don't have to waste all this stuff.
And I know before you, in your workshop, you had spoken about using like a bamboo toothbrush.
Yep.
And I was like, I've never seen one for sale before. Well, they have them at both those stores.
Yeah, they do.
They're not that expensive either. So because the plastic from plastic toothbrushes just ends up in the landfill.
It never disappears.
Right.
In the ocean. Tons of them are in the ocean.
Do you want to talk about the Pacific Garbage Patch? I was mentioning that to my dad yesterday, and I think he's listening right now, so we can have you explain
to Allison's
him.
Dad. So actually, learning about the Pacific Garbage Patch was probably the main motivator for me to commit to zero waste lifestyle.
Yeah.
So there's this great art installation that is the size of like a blue whale, and it's made up of entirely plastic. And that's the amount of plastic entering the ocean every second. And you can imagine, like, an actual size of an actual whale, that's how much plastic's entering the ocean every second. So what's happening is they're being accumulated into massive garbage patches, larger than the size of France. And the biggest one is the Great Pacific Garbage Patch. So there's five of them in the ocean. They're creating, like, toxic soup. Animals are getting caught in them, trapped in them. injured and dying in the garbage patches. They're also eating some of the plastics, mistaking it for food, and then they have the false sense of
being full,
and then they're starving because they're not actually eating. So that's just a couple of the problems. But I would highly recommend looking up these garbage patches and just having a look at how vast.
And if that isn't enough to get you to stop the plastics, like, nothing will be, like, it's just more, like, I think because it's out of sight, out of mind. My dad said, where is this? And I said, well, it's somewhere in the Pacific Ocean. I will get the exact location for you. Like, you will never see it in your lifetime, but that doesn't mean it's not there, right?
Yeah,
and it doesn't mean you shouldn't be proactive about trying to stop it.
Absolutely. I mean, you can see it in videos as well.
Yeah,
like,
for
it
sure.
goes on for miles.
Now, you also believe, and so do I, in using things until they're broken or fixing them. So if you're watching on the Facebook Live, this is my iPhone 5C, which I just got fixed again last week.
Nice.
I get it fixed about once a year. It basically just goes kaput because they don't make the parts on these small electronics strong enough to last a long time.
Mm-hmm.
I've had this now for 5 years. And I refused to get a new one. And actually, my mom offered to buy me a new phone for Christmas this year. And what did I say to her, Leanna? You were there.
Yeah, you didn't want it.
Yeah.
You said, no, I can fix mine.
Yeah. Like, why would I buy a new phone when, yeah, this does freeze up a lot, but why would I buy a new phone when I have the basics here?
Yeah.
Like, I just don't want, I watched a video last night about cell phone recycling, and there's actually some facts that I learned about that are kind of crazy. Only 20% of electronics are recycled. E-waste is now the world's fastest growing waste stream, and slowing it down would require that both consumers and manufacturers change the way they think about electronics. About 1.5 billion cell phones are sold each year. And once they're trash, they end up mostly in landfills. It's leaching toxic chemicals into the soil. And electronics account for up to 70% of landfills' toxic waste. And it's not so easy to recycle these either. They do it at this big plant in Ghana, West Africa. And it shows you, like, the workers, like, they're being all exposed to these toxic metals. It's not ideal. Like, try to use your stuff for as long as possible.
Yeah.
It's so important.
Totally.
Yeah. So we want to give some tips basically for just going zero waste is use things until they're broken. Get things fixed. When I have something that's broken, recently my printer, it a little plastic piece of it. This printer's like 10 years old. It's great. And of course, Hewlett Packard wants me to buy a new printer, right? Because that's why they make the cartridges so expensive and the printers are so cheap.
Yeah.
And this little plastic piece broke on the cartridge dispenser, and I knew I just had to, like, literally fix it so that the cartridge would stay in. And I couldn't get it done. I was trying to use rubber bands. I got my friend to come in who actually is trained on how to fix things like this, and he fixed it for me.
Amazing.
He formed this little, little piece that replaced that plastic out of some glue or something. And I was just so grateful because I was just thinking, I don't want to put that in the landfill or send it to the recycling. I've had this forever, and
yeah.
I want to keep it, and it works fine.
Amazing.
I don't want to just keep throwing things away.
Yeah, and Nada, I saw, is doing some bringing in a repair workshop every
yes.
once in a while.
Yeah.
And they're doing some
week.
Electronic repair, and they have some sewing machines for clothing repairs. So that's a great tool as well.
Yeah.
If you don't know even where to begin with something that you might have that's broken and how to fix it.
So I'm going to move on a little bit here. I want to know, are there certain rules of thumb that you abide by to stay within your zero waste lifestyle? Because, you know, I have always been environmentally minded myself, like, since a child, and I've learned to live, like, through, like, rules. Like, now, like, I do not accept plastic bags. Like,
mm-hmm.
you go with your own bags. If you don't, sometimes I don't have a bag, I just carry it all in my arms. I just say, I don't need a bag. I'm just going to walk to my car with my arms full of apples. I don't need a bag. So do you have rules that you abide by that
yeah.
sort of keep you in check?
Yeah, totally. Same with you. I don't do plastic bags. I actually have committed to no plastic, unless it's from a thrift shop, like plastic hangers or something. So no plastic. By any means, I won't buy anything new that has plastic. Mm-hmm. What else are my rules? Clothing, secondhand only.
Me too.
Except for
That's my
underwear.
Rule. Oh, yeah, you can't really buy some underwear at the thrift stores.
Like people
I have
do,
seen some new underwear.
Yeah, people yeah. do send yeah. new unused mm-hmm. items to the yeah. thrift shops.
Yeah.
So I would be okay with that, or yeah. like a bathing suit bottom. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so no new clothing except for underwear. Mm-hmm. All of my food, I'm buying package free. There's something maybe once a month where I'll buy like, what did I recently buy? Oh, I recently bought something new. It's a guppy bag, and it filters out the microplastics in your clothing when you wash them, so they don't go into the water.
That's like level 10 zero waste vegan. That's great.
Well, it kind of felt like I was breaking yeah. my rules buying it, right?
Yeah.
Because it's a new thing.
Right.
But it was either that or don't buy any more clothing that has fleece, polyester, nylon, spandex. And
yeah.
with my business of upcycling secondhand
right.
clothing, and I'm always washing them, and I have so many clothes that are in good condition that I just didn't know. I didn't know about the microplastics when I got them. So mm-hmm. this is a great solution for that. You just put anything with microplastics in the bag, and then it gets
for our listeners who don't know, can you just explain a little bit about what microbeads or microplastics are?
Yeah, so they're the tiny fibers in certain fabrics of clothing that make up the clothing, like spandex, mm-hmm. nylon, fleece. I just listed them. Yeah, and they leach out into the water and inevitably into the ocean during
and
the washing process.
Them.
Fish eat them. Yeah, they make their way into humans as well. And
absolutely.
Everything, we're all intertwined, right?
Right. It ends up, everything that ends up in our water stream ends up in us eventually.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the holidays are coming. I would say they are officially here. And with that often comes copious amounts of spending and creating waste that can end up in the recycling bin or most likely the landfill. Celebrating the holidays is often not friendly on the animals and the people, the earth, all of our inhabitants. But what if we could contemplate what a zero waste Christmas may look like? And that's also why we have you on the show today, Tasha, to help our listeners learn more and hopefully lean into this way of living during the holidays and beyond. So first, can you tell us some facts about the waste that is produced by Canadians during the holiday season?
Yes, I have a good statistic right here, actually. So according to the BC Recycling Council, 545,000 tons of waste is generated in Canada, and BC is responsible for 10 to 11% of it. And then there will be an additional 300,000 tons of garbage created between mid-November and New Year's, and this is for the holidays. And then something you shared with me, I think, was that if every Canadian wrapped three gifts in upcycled materials rather than buying wrapping paper new, enough paper would be saved to cover 45,000 hockey rinks.
That's a lot of hockey rinks, more than we
yeah.
have here in Canada, I think.
Yeah.
So basically, like gift wrapping itself, that just boggles me. It has for many years. Liana, you being my sister for 41 years, what have I used for gift wrapping for Christmas presents for like the last 20 years?
Newspapers,
because we already had them. People don't really buy newspapers anymore, but
yeah.
my mom does. So we're always at home on the
nice.
Island, and she has a lot of flyers, and they come in the newspapers. And mm-hmm. everyone always knows that the newspaper wrap gifts are Allison's gifts.
Yes, I love
and
it.
And your fingers are going to get black, but that's okay.
Yeah, I don't care. It's a small price to pay.
Exactly.
I wash my hands after. And we use a lot of gift bags in the family, and then they get reused.
Yeah.
Every year we go down to the basement, we get out the box of gift bags, and I use gift bags and newspaper, basically.
Nice.
So what are some gift wrapping ideas that you would like to share?
Yeah, so I would like to share or suggest you can use, for instance, tea towels. You could use tote bags.
Mm-hmm.
You could hide the gifts.
Yes, I like that idea.
Yeah.
You could just be like, here it is.
Yeah. So, like, hide it behind your back or hide it behind a couch. You can make a fun scavenger hunt out of it if you want.
I like also wrapping it in a scarf, because scarves
yeah.
are really nice to have as a gift.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. And like, the tea towel, everyone needs dishcloths.
Yeah.
So why don't you buy a dishcloth as a gift and wrap
from
it
from a thrift shop.
And can I say, my sister-in-law, she makes boxes out of paper, and you can use recycled paper.
Right.
Make
I've
boxes.
Seen that. like actual boxes out of like just regular paper mm-hmm. like this.
Great idea.
Yeah, that's recycled. Like all this paper is, by the way.
It's all recycled. I saw your notes on the back.
I only ever print on paper that has already been used, and I have like a lifetime supply of it from all the schooling I've done
Amazing.
In my life. So tell us about Christmas trees. What do you suggest for Christmas trees?
Yeah, so I thought about this one, and I came up with a couple ideas, and inspired by my friend Carly Bergman. She is a great zero-waste lifestyle blogger as well, if you want to look her up. So rosemary and lavender actually look quite a bit like Christmas trees. They're a mini version.
Okay.
So you could bring in a cute little rosemary or lavender plant into your home, and then you can eat it as well. You could also get a Christmas tree potted. You could bring it in for the holiday season, and you could keep it outside to keep living for the rest of the year.
I really like that idea.
Me
if
too.
You have the space. So
if you have the space.
As children growing up, our dad would take us into the forest every year to cut down a Christmas tree. But then, you know, we moved out of the house. They had they still have that little light up Christmas tree, right?
Yeah, small.
Yeah, they had that as a gift. But what do they use as a Christmas
tree? Their macrame.
Tree now? The macrame display is our Christmas tree. It hangs from the roof. It holds plants. And my dad decorates it with lights.
Amazing. Yeah.
That's our Christmas tree.
That's kind of like what we did this year, too. We just decorated our snake plant, and we borrowed some ornaments and lights from a friend. And
Think outside of the box.
Yeah.
Right? You can make new traditions. And honestly, like, I don't really feel like that diminishes our Christmas experience because it's our tradition as the macrame plant is our Christmas tree.
You can still get it festive.
Totally, it's all decorated, and we put the presents underneath. So what about gift ideas? Can you give us any zero waste gift ideas?
Yeah, totally. So some good ones would be, like, if you want to help someone get started in a zero waste lifestyle, you can do fun things like get some mason jars from a thrift shop, and you could make some soy candles, which we did a couple nights ago.
Nice.
You could do some fun things like there's recipes for vegan mac and cheese powder mix.
There is.
Yeah, so you can like make the powder mix, kind of like the spice mix, ready to go, and then essentially they just need to make the macaroni noodles and add the powder mix.
So you could give like a jar of macaroni with the powder mix? You could do that.
You could give a jar of the macaroni and then a jar of the mix as well, yeah. So pre-mixed, like, vegan mac and cheese ready to go. You could do a similar idea. I've seen, like, there's layered soup mixes where you just put, like, the lentils, the spices, the beans, and then you add the instructions.
I think people really appreciate food gifts. I used to every year bake a plethora of, like, 500 Christmas cookies and give them out to everyone, like all different kinds. I stopped doing that a few years ago because it's really crazy. I know you're missing
out.
Where are they? Well, the last couple of years I switched to kale chips. But even,
where are they?
Well, this year I've switched to something else, the gift of music.
Oh,
so
that's amazing.
As you'll hear at the end of this show, I just recorded a Christmas-themed music album with my band. So I thought, well, that's a great gift to give because actually it can be totally zero waste because I've digitized it all and I'm going to just like, I can just even email it to them. Here's your gift. And the music's beautiful. You'll hear it at the end of the show. So that's going to I think that's going to be my gift to everyone this year. You had an idea about aloe vera plants. Can you
tell us about that? I was really inspired when I was in Hawaii and I've always known that aloe vera is good for like sunburns, but I didn't know it was just good for skin health in general, but I used it because it's growing in abundance in Hawaii on my skin, and I saw the benefits right away. It's a great moisturizer. It's got a whole slew of other health benefits. So that would be a cool little gift, aloe vera plant. And what I do is I just break off like a half inch piece, and then I rub the gel on my face in the morning or at night, whenever.
And it's something that's living in your house.
Yeah,
and
it's like decoration
as
well.
It's beautiful.
Yeah.
Also, do you drink kombucha? A lot of people in Vancouver drink kombucha.
Yeah,
I do too.
Yeah.
I like it.
Actually, I've been learning how to make it, which is really fun.
With the SCOBYs.
Yeah, with the SCOBY and
the mothers.
Mm-hmm.
They scare me. I don't know. I'm not sure what it is, but that would be a great gift to give.
Yeah,
Is either kombucha itself that you made or a kit where you can make your own.
Yeah, you don't need that much. You just need some black or green tea, the mother that I don't find very scary. It's all good.
My friend's mother lived under her TV.
What? Oh.
I know. Wait, it sounds very
I forgot we were talking about
her, the Scobie mother.
My friend's mother lived under
the mother. TV. Yeah, the Scobie mother lived under the TV. I find that creepy. So also experiences. I like giving experiences as gifts.
Totally.
Like, how about tickets to a concert that you would both enjoy seeing together and you could share that together, right?
Or a festival or even just the movies, something smaller.
Yeah, something like that.
Dinner, yoga passes.
Leanne and I are going to a dinner this weekend. Yeah, that was going to be my treat to you. So
Thank you. And for your birthday, we did the concert. The Go-Go's?
That was in the summer. Yes. She took me to see the Go-Go's.
Look at you guys go. You're on your way to zero waste.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we've both been sort of like zero waste minded, I would say. Like I always say,
it sounds like it.
Everyone's I don't know why. It didn't really come from our parents or anything, but you know, we've always grown up actually to be thrifty, I would say for sure, right? Like I grew up like in thrift stores and
I think we grew up like that. A lot of influence from our mom.
For saving money, because it's actually a lifestyle to save money.
Yeah. No food waste, big thing.
Right.
That mom taught us.
And composting. I always compost. I composted when it was not cool and I had to buy a worm composter because it just wasn't provided where I lived. I had to go get my own, and that was many, many, many years ago. So we are up for time here, but I just wanted to know, are there any initiatives in the future that you wanted to talk about for zero waste?
Yeah, for sure. So we mentioned the potlucks earlier. I usually post one of those every couple weeks. So if you check out Peace People Project on Facebook, that's where I make the events, and I usually promote it on Instagram as well. We'd love to have you guys come out to those. I'm also going to be launching zero waste vegan markets in the new year. So,
well, you were at really the fun. Vegan night market last night.
Yeah, I bet it was packed.
I bet you your markets are going to be so successful. People are going to come out to them. People are totally into it these days.
Yeah, there's a huge zero waste community and there's a huge vegan community, and they can both really inspire each other because, like I said, it's the same value.
Absolutely. So. I'd love to have you back one day, Tasha. I feel like we just barely dipped into it. So thank you so much, Tasha, from the Peace People Project for coming on the show today to discuss with us the zero waste vegan lifestyle and how we can incorporate less waste and hopefully zero waste this holiday season and beyond. To find out more about Tasha's activism, you can go to peacepeopleproject.com on the web. She is also active on Facebook and Instagram at Peace People Project. You can also join the Zero Waste Vegan Vancouver group on Facebook or a more local group if you're outside of the area. Thanks again, Tasha, for joining us on the show today, and a happy zero waste holiday to you.
Thanks so much for having me.
You're welcome. So you have been listening to Animal Voices on 100.5 FM Vancouver Co-op Radio. On next week's show, December the 21st, we'll be having Anna Pippis on the show to speak about sustainable eating. She just wrote an article recently for the Huffington Post on this subject, and it's always really interesting to hear what she has to say. Connect with us online at animalvoices.org. You can listen to all of our past podcasts there and download them and find out info about the show. You can find out different links to this show, for example, on animalvoices.org. Send us an email at radioanimalvoices@gmail.com if you want to suggest anything for the show. If you have any events coming up, you can also post them on our Facebook page, Animal Voices Vancouver. So today we are leaving you with a song. It's by my band, the Band of the 15th Field Artillery Regiment, RCA. As I mentioned, we just recorded recently a Christmas album. It's out now. This piece is called Joy to the Season, composed by Sean O'Loughlin. Thank you so much for tuning into Animal Voices today, and stay tuned for Radio Eco Shock coming up. And remember to be kind to the animals.